Welcome to Building Bridges, your community and labor court, with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about some very significant labor support that we're receiving for the staff and listeners of WBAI.
And indeed we are. I'm calling this Labor Day, Ken, and I think it's going to be a celebrative day. It's going to be celebrative for a number of reasons, not the least is that one of our guests, who we have not had a chance to welcome back to the airwaves here since they won an enormous victory. I would say actually the most significant victory in the last 20 years in labor in New York, of course, is Roger Toussaint, who is the president of Transportation Workers Local 100. We also are going to have with us on the show Panama, Vicente Alba, or is it Vicente?
Vicente, right?
I know that. How do you take somebody you've known as Panama for 25 years?
Mimi.
Vicente Panama Alba, I'll do it straight, who is the field rep of the Laborers Local 108, who is with us, and we will be speaking with Charlie Kernaghan, who is from none other than the National Labor Committee, and it will be a celebrative day because we're going to find out when labor puts its hand to the plow, where it never takes it off. They make things happen and they make things run, and we intend to be affirmative today and talk about what they're doing in their locals and what they're doing to support our staff, those who have been fired, the listeners that have been banned, unpaid producers that have been banned, and volunteers, and what we're going to do to get them back. But first, with that, Roger Toussaint, welcome to the airwaves of WBAI.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're throwing confetti.
We're trying to find out, yes.
We're throwing confetti all over the place here because, as I said, the New Direction Coalition, which is an organization that I have followed in various capacities for probably 15 years, assumed control over one of the most important unions in the country, not alone the city, and that is the Transportation Workers Union. And Roger Toussaint, you now the president, we want to congratulate you. It's a most significant victory. It's affirmative because it is so important to see the potential and the reality of a rank and file regaining control of its union against tremendous bureaucratic odds.
Actually, the victory was quite overwhelming in the sense that we won over 60% majority in a three-way race, which is a very strong mandate from the members. It is a very important building block for us to go forward with, because despite various problems in the past, you know, it could be said that transportation workers spoke with one voice. So it's, for us internally, it's an important building block. Certainly for the labor movement, we want very much to give an impulse to the initiative needed around the city to reform labor, to make labor more responsive to the working men and women in this town. And we're going to be using the influence of our union now to pay back all our supporters and the working people around this town that want to see labor restore to its rightful role. And so I'm very happy to be able to speak on your program again. Of course, you guys have always been there for us and for so many others. And we want to be there for you.
Well, we hope that we will be able to continue on building bridges, and your community and labor report, certainly Ken and I believe everything here is very tenuous at this point, and it's imperative to support working class programming. Roger, you have gone onto the rubric of the New Direction Coalition for many, many years before you assumed the presidency, that is you and your slate of officers. How is it possible to institute a new direction for the Transportation Workers Union? Much is to be learned from how you succeeded to the position you now occupy, and much must be understood about how to proceed from here to keep the union in the hands of the rank and file. What is the new direction?
What do you want to know? How we got where we are, how we going to proceed?
Well, that was a pretty omnibus question I asked, but let's start with how do you think you got where you are, and the lessons from that. And then, of course, how do you think you're going to really keep the union in the hands of the rank and file?
Well, essentially, the new directions arose because of a need. Ever since the Reagan years, the problems that have been going on in all of the unions existed in our union were multiplied. The union became increasingly detached from the members, you know, less accountability, going along with various give-backs and concessions. And, in transit, we have a big problem with an out-of-control disciplinary machine that just treats our members like inmates, transit authority does. So that because of the failures of the union, you have reform groups such as New Directions that began the tedious work 15 years ago. We contested several elections. We did our homework in terms of our founders and our activists putting out the newsletters and being very active, each contract being at the forefront of all of the critical challenges that transit workers were faced. And more recently, with the 1999 contract, that brought a lot of attention to what was going on within, you know, with our contract demands before the whole city. We played a big role in terms of holding the then leadership of this union, holding their feet to the fire, and that helped our members and the labor movement establish a somewhat higher percentage bracket for you know, subsequent settlements. Came out of there with 5%, 3%, and 4% with some significant pension improvements. We could have gotten, in my estimation, more, but without New Directions, we'd have gotten less without that pressure. So it's been a long road. A lot of people got fired and suspended, and you know, but we, because I guess that at the end of the day, transportation workers refused to buckle. And they kept sending their legions of representatives, and people kept pressing for reforms and changes and so forth, and eventually it happened. We did our groundwork, so you know, opportunity met preparation.
We should mention that before you became the president, and we want people to take heart from this, you were the head of the track division, but you yourself were also on disciplinary action. So there's no hidden message here. There's a real message that the legions must indeed keep coming, and they must persevere at times of tremendous adversity.
Exactly. I mean, and that certainly applies in your case. I mean, I was fired since July of 1998. I drew my first paycheck 2 weeks ago, since July of 1998. I think that both on management side and on the union side, they totally miscalculated and thought that people like me would just simply fade into the sunset. I guess that there's something that happens when you fight in the right issues, and you know, the struggle is just perseverance takes you most of the way.
Roger Ken Nash.
Yes,
we haven't had a chance to talk too much about the current situation at WBAI, and I'm curious to see what your take is on the happenings here, the disciplinary actions here, the firings, the banning of personnel.
Well, I mean, this is some very stunning, almost unheard of type of stuff that we are hearing that's going on over there. I think that that in general, that this is on the part of Pacifica Group, you have this type of tremendous move to just suppress the voice of, you know, free thought and discussion. This type of service that you all have been working so hard and providing to the progressive community, to the labor movement, I think that is a very important that the labor movement rally behind you all. This simply cannot be allowed to stand what they're trying to pull off over there. I don't know. Are there any parallels to what they have been, to what they have done to you all?
Well, I think the parallels that we always need to look at is that, one, there's restricted access mm-hmm. on the work site. In fact, there really is an effective lockout. There's discussion of surveillance camera. There are locks that have been installed, which is antithetical to our history, to a free speech, to a community involvement venue that this place has been for 41 years when it was given as a gift listeners of New York. And, of course, our union shop steward was terminated without cause. And
that's what I'm saying in terms of his dad. I mean, I've heard of those type of, I've seen, I've been part of that type of reactionary type of repression in factory situations and so forth. Here it is squarely against speech. Squarely, I mean, that is what I'm asking, if there's a precedent here in terms of, has this been done elsewhere?
No, except that in KPFA in Berkeley, the Pacifica National Foundation responded the same way, that what we are beginning to see is a change of philosophy, and that change of philosophy is moving from servicing those most in need of a progressive voice and an alternative outlook and engaged journalism to people who are consumers and are viewed as consumers who can most afford to pay for programming that they are desirous of,
right.
Certainly not the indigent. So there's a philosophic shift, and we have a national board that is clearly reflective of that. Some of them from the highest levels of government in both the Democratic, and now, interestingly enough, they've stayed through the Republican administration without being challenged. That says something. And, of course, people from the highest levels of corporate offense, particularly to the labor movement, since Epstein, Becker, and Green, who represents the Pacifica National Foundation, is one of the 3 to 5 largest law firms of its kind in the world, and one of their specialties is maintaining union-free work sites. And this, of course, is the counsel that is being given now to people who are involved directly and complicitous in the firings of staff and personnel from the station. Indeed, personnel who helped build the station.
We need